Chelek Yud Gimel, Parshas Korach, Sicha Aleph. In the thick of the events of Korach's rebellion and instigating the community against Moshe and Aaron, Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, Hibadlu mitoich ha'eda hazois, separate yourselves from this community, va'achala oisam kiroga, and I'll destroy them instantly. Following that is the pasuk our sicha deals with, pasuk chaf beis, which reads, "Vayiplu al pneihem vayomru." Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces and said, "Kel elokei haruchos lechol basar, God, God of the spirit of all flesh," which Rashi will explain to mean God who understands or knows all thoughts. "Ha'ish echad yechta." One man sins and you'll be angry with the entire group? The Rebbe will explain that those who participated in the rebellion can be divided into two. The one, as Moshe thought, but ultimately there were three, Korach, Dathan, and Aviram, who led and instigated the rebellion, and the others who were influenced to join. Of course, anyone who participated was guilty of participation and not standing strong in their own beliefs and avoiding evil influences. Yet the Rebbe will explain that the sin of those who instigated is far worse than those who went along with the foul behavior. So when Moshe and Aaron turn to Hashem and say, "Kel Elokei HaRuchos, God who knows all thoughts, you know who instigated this sin and who only followed. Thus," they said, "punish those who instigated the sin only." Without this understanding, says the Rebbe, there are a multitude of difficulties in the Rashi, which the Rebbe will present and answer. So on this pasuk, in Perek Tazayin, pasuk Chaf Beis, Rashi comments and explains, "Kel Elokei HaRuchos," to mean knower of the thoughts, Yodea Machshavos. And Rashi continues and says, "Ein midas ha kemidas basar v'dam. You don't behave like people of flesh and blood." Melech basar v'dam, Rashi continues and gives a mashal and says, a king of flesh and blood, shesir ha'olav miktsas medina, eina yedea mihachaita. That human king who has a rebel, somebody doing bad in his kingdom, doesn't quite know who the sinner is. And continuing the mashal, Rashi says, "Lefichach keshehu kayes nifra mikulam." So when he's angry, he punishes all. "Aval ata," Rashi continues and says, "but you, God, lifanecha galuyos kol hamachshavos." But you, Hashem, all thoughts are revealed before you, and you know who is the actual sinner. It seems clear that Rashi's intention is to explain Kel Haruchos as Yodea Machshavos, the God of spirit, of all flesh, to be understood as the one who knows all thoughts. The word Ruchos here is not used to reference souls, neshamas, but rather the knower of men's thoughts, the spirit in one's mind. In fact, in Parshas Shlach, in last week's Parsha, we read a description of Kolev, one of the 12 Meraglim, who went to scout Eretz Yisrael, but did not return with negative thoughts about Eretz Yisrael. Thus, he did not speak badly of Eretz Yisrael or of our ability to conquer it. The pasuk describes him as one who possesses a ruach acheres, a different spirit. His internal thoughts were different. Really, says the Rebbe, this is the only way we can connect the description of Elokei HaRuchos as expressed by Moshe and Aaron to the rest of the pasuk that reads, "Ha'ish echad yechata va'al kol ha'eda tiktzeif." One man sins and you're angry at the whole group? since you, God, know who is the real sinner and who to be angry at, punish him. Elokei HaRuchos explained as God of the spirits or souls just doesn't and wouldn't connect to the rest of the pasuk. And thus Rashi continues and says, you aren't like a mortal king who wouldn't know man's thoughts and who would be the original sinner. There are five questions that Rebbe presents at this point on the Rashi. The first question is on the parable that Rashi brings following the words Ein midas hakim midas basar v'dam, that a human king who had someone bad among his people wouldn't know who the sinner was and would punish all of them. The mashal seems somehow unnecessary as an explanation to the statement, you don't behave like a mortal king. How does it add to our understanding of the seemingly very comprehensible explanation thus far of Rashi, that Hashem knows all thoughts, unlike a melech basar v'dam? What does the mashal contribute? The second question the Rebbe asks draws a connection to another earlier source in Chumash, in Parshas Vayera, where Avram Avinu is pleading for the life of his nephew Lot, who lives in Sodom, and he's been informed that Hashem is going to destroy Sodom. Seemingly similarly, he beseeches God, saying, "Ha'af tispet tzaddik im rasha? Will you destroy the tzaddik with the rasha?" Why doesn't Rashi bring this mashal there? It really seems to fit, asks the Rebbe, if in fact it supports and enhances the answer that Rashi has provided here, that you, God, are unlike and behave unlike a king of flesh and blood. In the third question, the Rebbe challenges the premise of Rashi's statement, suggesting that even a mortal human king, if ruling righteously, wouldn't punish a multitude for the sins of one. Rather, he would elect someone to investigate and determine who the sinner was. And if it became impossible to make that determination, why are we assuming an honest king would punish all of them? The fourth question that Rebbe asks is in that Rashi, in the mashal, presents the words Sircha Olav Miktsas Medina, a portion of his nation is corrupt. Sircha, the word sircha, is a word that would be used to describe something that smells bad. But Rashi concludes the parable, with the words, he doesn't know hachayte, mi hachayte, who was the sinner. As opposed to the word sircha, the term sinner is a lot stronger than that term, one who did bad or acts as a rebel. This question is more pronounced by the fact that Rashi uses different terminology to that used in the Medrash Tanchuma and in the Medrash Rabbah, from whom Rashi draws his pirush to begin with. In the Tanchuma and Medrash Rabbah it says, Melech basar v'dam, Shemardu Olav Bnei HaMedina. That's the parable given there. A human king whose nation rebelled against him, and he doesn't know who participated in the rebellion and who didn't. But Rashi concludes with the words Mihachoite, and who is the one sinner, unlike the Tanchuma and Medrash Rabbah who say who participated and who didn't. So too, says the Rebbe, in the fifth question, Rashi concludes in the singular, who is the one sinner, but began in the plural, again veering away from the Tanchuma and the Medrash Rabbah, who say in the plural, whose nation rebelled against him, and he doesn't know if it was 10 or tens. Again, the terminology is starkly different. Sircha Olav, who behaved foully, and Hachoite, the sinner, and the shift from plural, the plural who did bad, to the singular who sinned. The Rebbe now references the words of Rashi in the second Divrei HaMashal from this Pasuk, where Rashi explains the words Ha'ish echad. Just to remind ourselves, the words of the pasuk are Vayiplu al pnehem vayoymru, Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces, and they said, Kel Elokei haruches l'chol basar, God, the God of the spirit of all flesh. From Rashi we understand, God, the God who knows the thoughts of all flesh. Ha'ish echad yecheta v'al kola eda tiktzef. One man sins, and you will be angry at the entire congregation. And here Rashi explains the words Ha'ish echad, saying, Hu hachoyte v'al kol ha'om tiktzef. If one man is the sinner, shall you be angry with the entire congregation? Rashi continues and says, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said, Yofe Amarta, you have spoken well. Ani Yodea, I know, Umaydia, and will make known mi chata umi loy chata, who sinned and who didn't. And regarding this Rashi, the Rebbe asks the following. First of all, why does Rashi say Yofe Amarta in the singular? It was both Moshe and Aaron who pleaded before God. In fact, though, in the Ha'aris, the Rebbe says that the one speaking to the congregation was an instruction from Moshe only. But what is Rashi's intention in this explanation? In the Pasuk it says, Ha'ish Echad Yecheta. And Rashi phrases it in his explanation as Hu hachayta, he is the sinner. The ish echad from the pasuk in Rashi becomes Hu hachayta, he is the sinner. And then Rashi adds the words ve'ata, and you, to the words al kol ha'eda tiktzeif, will be angry at the entire congregation. The Rebbe questions, what do these changes do to add to or to clarify the words of the pasuk? They seem like such banal changes. A second question regarding Rashi's intention is as follows. If Rashi wants to explain somehow that when it says, Ha'ish echad yechta v'gam al kol ha'eda tiktzeif, that one person sinned, and you're going to be angry at the entire congregation, then these words should either be brought in the opening words of Rashi, included with the word Ish Echad, or hinted to with a V'chulu, and so on, because the Rashi goes on to explain these words. The Rebbe further presents the question regarding Rashi's intention in adding this idea of Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yofe Amarta. Hashem said, you have spoken well, and I will let it be known who did and didn't sin. The fourth question the Rebbe asks is, if Hashem agreed that one man is the sinner, Yofe Amarta, then why in the subsequent pasuk are Dosan, Aviram, and Korach, three sinners, mentioned as the ones the congregation should stay away from? Rashi just said that Hashem said, Yofe Amarta, you've spoken well regarding the plea of Moshe that one man sinned, etc. And yet, in the following pasuk, we see that Dosan, Aviram, and Korach are called out. The fifth question the Rebbe asks is on the words in the Rashi of Ani Yodea. I know, says Hashem, who the sinner is. That Hashem knows who the sinner is not a chiddush, that Rashi should bring it down. The chiddush is in the words Ani Yodea, I will let it be known who the sinner is. Really, the entire discussion is challenging. In the earlier verses, the rebellion is referenced as having many participants. Specifically, the Torah says 250 men rose up against Moshe and Aaron. Moshe spoke to Korach and his group. Rashi himself comments earlier on in Pasuk Dalet, where we read that Moshe, upon hearing the complaints of the people, fell on his face. Rashi says because this was the fourth time they had done something ugly, and Rashi lists these things. So really, how is Moshe saying one man sinned and you'll punish the entire congregation? The Rebbe explains all of this by presenting us with Rashi's explanation on Pasuk Yutes, on the words Vayakel Aleihem Korach. Korach gathered his entire congregation against them. The entire night, says Rashi, he went to the tribes and seduced them and fooled them, saying, "Do you think I care only for myself? I care for all of you. These men, Moshe and Aaron, have come and taken all the high positions. Moshe took the kingship for himself and took the priesthood for his brother, until eventually they were all lured into Korach's rebellion, and they would never have joined his rebellion otherwise." Certainly, says the Rebbe, man must take responsibility for his actions and distance himself to begin with from evil influence, and know what his position is, and be strong in this position. These men were not, but they didn't really desire to separate themselves from Moshe and Aaron, and certainly were not deserving of death. For this precise reason, Rashi brings the parable of a mortal king against whom a portion of his kingdom has done bad. Using the word srucha, something smells bad, or a foul action, because their actions smelled bad, they were ugly, but they weren't really intentional acts of rebellion, and certainly were not deserving of death. But these foul actions were clearly motivated by at least one negative influencer who brought them to these foul actions. And this is most definitely an act of rebellion. So the one individual Rashi refers to as the chayte, the sinner, the others are only foul people. Therefore, says Rashi, a mortal king who doesn't have the wherewithal to know who sinned punishes them all because they all behaved in a foul way. And now we understand the avolata of Rashi, but you, God, lifanecha guluyes kol hamachshavos, before you is revealed all thought, and you know who sinned. And the ones who behaved in a foul way will surely not be punished with the same punishment as the actual sinner. And in response to this, to Moshe's complaint that not all should be punished as the one deserving sinner, Hashem says, Yofe Amarta, you have spoken well. However, in fact, it wasn't quite like Moshe thought, that only one sinned. Rather, there were three. And here we answer the chiddush of Ani Yodea, I know, says Hashem, that Rashi brings. I know that there were more, Umaydia, and I will make known that not only Korach on his own sinned, also Dasan and Aviram are guilty of this sin, as opposed to the rest, who were lured into it. The lesson the Rebbe brings down from this discussion is so fundamental to what it means to be a chassid, and more so a chassid in the week of Gimel Tammuz. Looking back to Pasuk Yud Beis, we read that when Moshe tried to reason with Korach, Moshe then sent for Dasan and Aviram, but they brazenly refused to come. Instead, they spitefully and disdainfully responded with words that were both blasphemous and disrespectful and hugely distressing to Moshe Rabbeinu. All of which points to active and willful participation with Korach. These men were not simply men who behaved in a foul way, allowing themselves to be misguided. And yet, after all this, Moshe judges these men l'kaf schus, meritoriously, and says there is one who sinned. That one would be Korach. This is the extent, says the Rebbe, to which one must go to affect this midah upon his soul and to allow for it to take root in his Hasidic psyche, to judge another for good, notwithstanding the obvious negative behavior of another. And this perception of the other as righteous, says the Rebbe, will result in one's making every true effort with his fellow to return him to righteousness and to the correct path.